It's November 15th, and I welcome you to the First Presbyterian Church of Westerville, Ohio, as we live stream this service this morning. We are a congregation of the Presbyterian Church USA and a member of the Presbytery of Scioto Valley. We are located at 41 West College Avenue in Uptown Westerville. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan. I am pastor here at First Presbyterian, and I will be leading worship this morning along with Heather Hicks serving as our liturgist. Lynn Meyer is playing the organ. Earl Linhart and Jen Spur will be singing for us this morning. Following the service, we will have an especially for children time, so be sure to come back to us a couple minutes after the service ends. If you are visiting with us this morning, we invite you to post a note on the Facebook page so we know that you are here this morning. And if you would like to learn more about this church, you may contact the church via Facebook or by calling our church office at 614-882-3155. We're glad that you are worshiping with us this morning, and if you are watching this service live, you are invited to join our Zoom coffee hour immediately following the service. The coffee hour has link on Zoom has been posted on the Facebook page. Today we have several announcements to share, and first I need to mention myself. My left eye is black and blue because I tripped during my morning run on Friday. The thing was, I was trying to finish strong, but I ran a little too hard, caught my toe on an uneven portion of the sidewalk, and landed on this side of my face. It looks worse than it feels, and hopefully my eye will look much better by next Sunday. And now for the important announcements. First of all, the flowers that you see up here this morning are given by Vicki Moon, Betty Gillum, Marissa Brasket, and Elena Brasket to wish Brianna Brasket happy 40th birthday. Next Sunday is Thanksgiving Sunday at First Presbyterian Church, and we are inviting you to write down what you are thankful for this year and to send it to me or to the church office this week. These notes then will be shared in worship next Sunday, November 22nd. And we plan to include the names of the submitters unless you would rather be anonymous. Speaking of Thanksgiving, this year we are doing a cereal drive for Pike County. We are asking everyone to bring boxes of cereal to the church between 1 and 3 p.m. next Sunday, November 22nd. We will unload them from your car and put them in John and Sharon Davis's car so that they then can drive them down to Pike County Food Pantry. We have been told that there is a particular need for cereal down there. Ladies' Night Out is on Tuesday, November 17th at 7 p.m. via Zoom. If you are interested in attending, contact the church office. And the Circle for Women will meet at 11 a.m. on Thursday, November 19th via Zoom. If you would like to join in, contact the church office for more information. And now let us begin our worship service with the music of the prelude.
Thank you. us be called to worship this morning. Rejoice in the Lord, you who are righteous, for it is good for the faithful to praise the Creator. For the word of the Lord is right, and all of God's works are sure. Therefore, let all the earth praise the Lord. Let all who dwell in the world stand in awe of God. Happy are those whose God is the Lord. Happy are the people who belong to God. Let us worship God this day. Let us pray. God of all glory and of all grace, as you receive our praise, hear our prayer. Let our adoration be not merely words on our lips, but the truth from our hearts. May our prayers be not merely shopping lists of wants, but conversations grounded in commitment. May our faith not be confined to this time, but woven into the fabric of our lives. By your grace, may we find our true selves in your presence. We pour out our hearts before you, O God. You are our refuge and our strength. Waves of doubt beat against us, weakening our faith. Tremors of discord shake our foundation. The winds of temptations drive us from our course. Too often we rely on ourselves when wisdom is sought. Forgive our weakness in faith. Still the storm in our souls. Provide in Christ a haven of hope for our troubled and distracted spirits. Amen. Two scripture readings for this morning. The first comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 70. Listen for God's word. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let those be turned back and brought to dishonor who desire to hurt me. Let those who say, aha, aha, turn back because of their shame. Let all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let those who love your salvation say evermore, God is great. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. And next from the Gospel of Matthew, the 25th chapter, the 1st through the 13th verse. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the bridesmaids came to also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Heather. Let us pray. O Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight. Amen. When I was a young man, just graduated from college, I took a job in Wisconsin. And so for the first time, I was going to be living totally on my own. As a going away gift, my father gave me an emergency survival kit for the car. In it were a variety of things that might help me if I happened to be stranded somewhere on the road in some remote corner of Wisconsin. There was an aluminum blanket to keep me warm. There were waterproof matches so that I could start a fire, and a little tinder fireball, he called it, that would easily ignite and burn for a long time to help get a fire started. There was a magnifying glass so that if my waterproof matches didn't work, I could use the magnifying glass to start a fire from the light of the sun. There was a mini saw so that I could cut down branches for my fire, and there was a mini first aid kit when I hurt myself with that mini saw. There was a notepad and pencil so that I could leave a trail with messages if I had decided to hike out from wherever where I was stranded. And there was even a mirror so that I could signal low-flying aircraft. I'll tell you, my dad thought of everything. And so I carried that survival kit in my car for all the years that I lived and worked up there. It gave me a sense of security that I was ready for anything. And I remember one time, one day in the winter when I was headed out to go do some cross-country skiing, and I hit a slick part on the road and skidded into a ditch. I wasn't hurt, but I was shaken up, and I was glad I had my emergency kit. I got out of that car and felt that, well, with this emergency kit, I can survive being stranded here. The scripture from Matthew reads a little bit like the Boy Scout motto, "Be prepared." What makes this story so interesting for us isn't that it's so much of a parable that Jesus tells as it is a description of life in the Middle Eastern town 2,000 years ago. Back then, a wedding was a week-long affair, with the highlight coming when the bridegroom left his home to go to the home of the bride and bring her back to the wedding ceremony. The young women of the town surrounded the bride and kept her company while she waited. When the groom did arrive, they would light their lamps and guide their way in a procession to where the ceremony was being held. Now, of course, since that was an age without telephones or other means of long-distance communication, the exact time of the groom's arrival was never known for sure. The groom would show up when the groom showed up. And apparently, in Jesus' story, the groom was later than expected. Of course, not knowing when the groom would show up meant that the young women were expected to be ready at a moment's notice to light their lamps and welcome the groom to the ceremony. Jesus, in his story, adds a little suspense to the account by telling us that five of the bridesmaids took extra oil for their lamps so they would have enough in case there was an emergency, whereas five of the other bridesmaids did not take any extra oil. And of course, when the groom did come, the five who had the extra oil had plenty of oil to keep their lamps lit, but the five who did not have extra oil had to scramble at the last minute and find an all-night oil lamp dealer to buy some extra fuel, and in the process miss the procession and the wedding. This was the custom of the day. And the message that Jesus shares with us is rather simple. Make sure that you have everything you need so that you can be ready. When my car skidded off the road that winter morning, I was ready. I had my emergency kit so I could keep warm, I could build a fire, I could signal for help. I was prepared. I had my extra oil. So after the car came to a stop, I got out and walked around, checked myself out, made sure I was okay. Walked around the car was okay. I checked my emergency kit and it was okay. What do I do now? I wondered. I decided that the first thing to do was see if the car would start again, and it did. Then I thought, well, maybe I could drive along this ditch. And so I put the car in gear, and sure enough, I could drive. I could drive rather easily. Soon I was driving along the bottom of that ditch, easily moving through the few inches of snow that covered the bottom of that ditch. Finally, I came to a level place where I could turn out of the ditch and back onto the road, and I resumed my trip. I guess I didn't really need my emergency kit after all. You know, I don't think I ever actually used anything in that emergency kit. And maybe that's the problem with emergency kits. You have them so that you don't ever really need to use them. I wonder how many false alarms the maidens had before the bridegroom really came along. It happens enough times that you get to the point and you say, why bother? And maybe that is the point of Jesus' story. Maybe the foolish maidens weren't so much foolish as realistic. The groom always shows up at a reasonable hour, so why would they have to hassle with carrying another jug around along with their lamp and handling all that just for another night of excess, I guess. But then that's how life is, isn't it? It's normal until it isn't. Then comes the time when we actually need that extra flask of oil. Or to get at the metaphor that Jesus was pointing to, we need that extra boost of faith. Jesus is reminding his listeners that what seems unnecessary now might be extremely necessary in the future. I think of the story of Presbyterian minister Benjamin Weir, who in the 1980s was captured by extremists in Lebanon and held captive there for over a year. In the first few months of his captivity, he was blindfolded and kept in chains most of the time. When asked how he managed to make it through such agony, Weir said that he repeated to himself the verses from Scripture that he had memorized. That is what kept him going, memorized Bible verses. What he had spent a lifetime doing, reading the Bible, had now become a life-saving activity. Little did he know when he was reading the Bible that he would one day come to rely on all that preparation. The other thing that makes this scripture passage difficult is that the foolish maidens get no help from the wise ones. Wouldn't you think that the maidens who had brought along extra jugs of oil would be gracious enough to spare just a little? But alas, there are some things that cannot be borrowed, cannot be loaned out. And faith is one of them. Faith is something that is within each of us. And while we might lean on someone who has great faith, we still need our own faith. Benjamin Weir didn't have anyone to lean on in that prison. There was no one there to read Bible verses to him or to hold his hand. He was alone. And at some time or another, we all will be. We cannot borrow a relationship with God. That is only something we can foster. So we must make ourselves ready. I read a while back about a person whose basement was flooded in the middle of January. Call brought a plumber who told the woman that a tree root had grown into the sewer line and blocked the system so it backed up. Turns out the trees do most of their root growing in the winter when the tops of the trees are dormant. In turn, these healthy roots allow the trees to grow leaves in the summer. It might help us to remember that even when we feel like the world is a dark and dreadful place and there is no sunshine anywhere, the Holy Spirit is not dormant. It is at the times when we feel less spiritual that we might want to practice being most spiritual, to grow our roots, if you will. Faithfulness takes practice. It is that practice that fills our lamps with the oil that we will need someday. The thing is, we prepare for Jesus by practicing our faith as individuals and as a church. I once read of a 3-day event held by a church in another city. It was called Holiness in the Hood. Everybody in the community was welcome to come together in love and unity, as their brochure said, for a basketball tournament in the church parking lot, to listen to rap music on the church steps, to enjoy hamburgers and hot dogs on the church lawn. Several hundred people enjoyed the free snow cones, the popcorn, and the games of musical chairs. The assistant pastor says we have basketball without anger as a way to tending to the body, soul, and spirit. Another pastor said that they had hopes to form a bridge between the church and the community. She said, events like this show people we can have a good relationship with Christ. We can make our cities better places to live in. And then there was 15-year-old Maria, who said, events like Holiness in the Hood get you ready for Jesus. Quite that theologian, that 15-year-old Maria. For such a brief phrase, she summarized the purpose of the church and our Christian life: to get ready for Jesus. And I'm going to bet Maria would have had that extra jug of oil too. Amen.
With expectation.
Thank you, Jen. We come to this time of prayer, and as we do, we lift up those who are in particular need of prayer this day. Those would include Pat Beeman, who is suffering from the effects of Parkinson's. Continued prayers for Holly Harvey on the death of her Aunt Virginia, and prayers for her husband Gary as he continues his battle with cancer. We pray for Chris and Jen Henson on the death of their friend Nikki. We pray for Sue Lample's daughter Jeannie, who is battling cancer. We continue our prayers for the family and friends of Dorothy Butts, who died a few weeks ago. And we hold Mary Bricker in prayer for the death of her sister-in-law, Jody. We hold Betty Gillum in our prayers as she continues to recover from her stroke. We hold Rob Rankin's sister in our prayers, Jane. We give thanks for Cindy, a friend in Glare, Sharon Carlton, who's got some good health news recently. We continue our prayers for the family of David Cameron. Let us take a moment of our own personal silent prayers, and then I'll lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. O Lord, hear our prayers. Dear God, the world is aflame with your glory, and the trees sing out your praise. Let the fires of your Holy Spirit burn the self-satisfaction and pretense from our souls. Let it set us on fire with the joy of serving others in your name. Let it dance among us gathered here through this wonderful means of electronics, so that we may sing the song of your faith throughout the community. O Lord God, we come to you in the face of grief and fear, and in spite of sickness and loneliness, and in the knowledge that wherever we go, you are there before us, holding those who would serve in the arms of your gracious love. We now ask that you hold those whom we have mentioned here this morning, those who are grieving losses, may they find solace in your arms. Those who are fighting for their health, may they find healing in your arms. Those who are facing great temptation, may they find self-control in your arms. Those who are coping with the trials of worry, may they find hope in your arms. Those who are giving thanks on this day, may they find joy in your arms. O Lord, you love us, and your love is poured out upon us day after day. Teach us to love as you love, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and guide, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes.
Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, my soul. Worship his holy name.
Sing like never before,
my soul.
I'll worship your holy name.
You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, O my soul, O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. O worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forever. His holy name. Sing like never before, O my soul. I worship your holy name. I worship.
Thank you, Jen and Earl. Just a reminder that next week will be our Thanksgiving Sunday, and you're all invited to send to me or to the church office something that you are thankful for that we will include in our worship service next week. Also next Sunday is the cereal drive for Pike County. Come to the church between 1 and 3 next Sunday afternoon and drop off boxes of cereal. Trying to fill up John and Sharon's car, John and Sharon Davis's car, as they'll take it down to Pike County that week. This is a special request from the people who operate the Pike County food pantry. And again, the flowers this morning, we thank Vicki Moon, Betty Gillum, Marissa Braskett, and Elena Braskett as they give these flowers to wish Breanne Braskett a happy 40th birthday. And again, I will try to be more careful this week and not trip and fall anywhere, and bang my eye or any other pieces of my body. Now I invite you to go in peace. Go knowing that the Lord goes with you always. Amen.